Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And good morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studios for the Coaches Show this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning. Boy, it's going to be probably the best day we've had since probably last October or September. So get out and enjoy it. Of course, we start the Coaches Show in the spring at 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock because I think we got about eight coaches to talk about. So we get an extra half hour here. And in the studio with us right now is Barry Bessenden, the Lacapral Valley Boys Golf Coach. And good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Is this golfing weather or what?
Ah, finally.
Finally's right. Yeah, you had a busy week and a nice week to golf.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, you know, the weather turned around the way it did. I mean, even we started the week, you know, we played last weekend, Saturday over in Wilmer, and it was cool and rainy, and of course the day before had been cold and windy, and Monday was cold and windy, so it's been quite a change in a hurry. That's what we talked about, was that we'd probably go from winter to summer. Yep. and bypass spring, and it sounds like next week it's going to look like that, because I saw we're going to be in the 80s. Yeah. By the middle of the week, and
dew points in the 60s,
so we're going right into July here, which for me, I'm
you okay perfect, with
I'm perfectly fine with that. You know, others maybe don't like it, but I do, and it helps these old bones get a little get a little looser. So but yeah, busy week. We did start off, we played last Saturday over in Wilmer. We were able to dodge the rain. We got the round in. We didn't experience any rain during the round. We had a little drizzle over the last probably a hole to two holes, but nothing really to get anyone too wet, and that was about it. And then I think, you know, shortly after we got done, then it started raining a little more, and we drove home in rain. But the second day of the tournament overall, we finished 12th place, actually 13th place, sorry. Overall score of 780. We had talked about the Friday round before. Saturday we shot 391 in the wet conditions, and it was tough. The scoring was tough. I mean, I don't think anybody played well in any team. There weren't very many low scores on Saturday's wet, just because of wet conditions, except for Sartell played well and Bemidji did. Other than that, nobody played well. And so individually for us, we led Carson Bessenden at 88. Will Gies was at 98. Lucas Vasek had, I looked this up here. Lucas Vasek had 99, good round for him. Mm-hmm. Charlie Alstead had, I think it was 100. Caden Stender was at 110, and Landon Kranz was at 117 for us to round out that round of golf. And again, good tournament. As I mentioned last week, the field was significantly strong. We had a number of 3A level teams, 2A level teams. There were, you know, the only single A teams there were us, Dawson Community Christian, and then Black Duck came down to play.
Black Duck
came down.
Wow, that's a drive.
That's a drive. Them and Bemidji came down. They said out there they weren't even able to do anything outdoors because they were still winter. There's still snow on the ground, so they weren't even doing anything outdoors. So they came down to get some golf in. So that was last Saturday. Then we got into this week. Tuesday we had a Camden meet at Raymond for the second time. This one was hosted by CMCS.
Okay.
Little better conditions. They started improving Tuesday. It wasn't that warm, but the sun was out. Wind was down, so it was a good day. Dawson Boyd won the meet with 171. Then it was Community Christian 179, McCray 186. We were 188, followed by RCW and Central Minnesota Christian. Carson Bessenden was shot 41, which was good for, I believe, a tie for third. Charlie Alstead shot 46. Lucas Vasek shot 50. Will Gies 51. Caden Stender 55. JT Alstead 61. To round out the day, it was good though to just play in a day where we weren't wrapped in three layers, and you know, giving the wind beat us down. So it was a good start as far as playing in some nice weather. Thursday we went over to Valley Golf Course in Wilmer for the CCS turn to host in the Camden, and that one again, Dawson Boyd won that with a 162. We were second with a 172. CCS had a 179. Then it was RCW's Central Minnesota Christian and McRae leading us again. Carson Bessenden with a 40. I think that was about fourth place. Charlie Alstead, 42. Will Gies, 43. Both with career bests for those two, as well as JT Alstead of the 47. I think that was a career best for him as well.
Oh, good.
Caden Stender, 49. Lucas Vosick, 52. And the thing about Valley is it's a very short course.
Where is that in Wilmer?
That's on the east side of Wilmer. It's tucked back behind where the it used to be the Holiday Inn. I don't know what it is. Changed names. It's back
oh, really?
There.
Okay.
You know, back in the middle of a neighborhood there, and some houses all around the course. But yeah, you turn on Lakeland Drive.
I didn't know that.
And you turn in, but yeah, it's back behind that those hotels. And
is that a fairly new golf course then?
No, it's been there a while. Okay. You know, it's I think it's improved a lot over the last few years. They got ownership that's taken some pride, and it's a well played course, I think, over there. It's a short course. It's very tight. There's a lot of there's this lot out of bounds. There's some water on the course. There's a little stream that runs through that you got to cross. And I think it gets a lot of play, especially you get, it's a good beginner's course. There's not a lot of, you can hit the ball ahead. You don't have to hit over a lot of stuff. And it's a good course, too, for, it's a lower cost alternative than Eagle Creek, and but it gets a lot of play.
I've never played it.
But it's a course where it's kind of an equalizer course where it kind of brings the scores closer together among the players and the teams because of the layout. Then Friday we went to New London for their Invitational. One day, 19 teams. This time we were playing against, there were a few bigger schools, but a lot more of schools that were more around our level. We had other section teams there, such as BB and Benson were there, and Morris and a few of that as well. New London Spicer won the tournament on their home course. He shot 301, which is a tremendous score. They had the individual medalist was 2 under par. Peyton Curran, who's one of the top players in the state. Albany was second. Fairmont was third. BB was fourth. Minnewaska fifth. In the top 5 out of 19, we were 16th. We finished ahead of Melrose, ACGC, and Sauk Center. So with a 384, not a bad score. Considerably improved from we played there the week before. Carson Bessenden came off a little tough start, but rallied. He shot 87. Will Gies had a career 18-hole low of 90, played very well, especially considering that the greens were pretty souped up a lot faster than we've seen, and so he handled the greens well. Charlie Alstead with 100. JT Alstead, continuing his improved play with a 107. Lucas Vosick with a 109, and then Caden Stender with a 114 to round out the team for the day.
So, all right, busy week.
Busy week. Good to get out and play some golf in some nice weather.
Nice weather, yeah. What do you got coming up this week, Barry?
Two events this week. Tuesday we go down to Minneota for their Minneota has an invitational. They take turns with Lakeview. Oh. 1 year it's the boys, 1 year it's the girls, and they swap sites. Last year we played at Lakeview, so... the girls played at Minneota, so we're trading places this year.
So you go to the south part of the Camden?
Now there'll be other teams there. It's an invitational, so BB is going to be there, and there's a couple others. There's a lot of Camden teams that'll be there, but there's some that are non-Camden teams that'll be there too. So we go to that 18 holes Minneota on Tuesday, and then Thursday we round out the Camden regular season. We go over to Stony Creek and Renville. RCW hosts. This one was originally scheduled to be played, I think it was April 19th, but the weather was not conducive. It was pretty cold and windy and raw. Right. So that'll conclude the regular season of the Camden Conference on Thursday.
Okay. All right. Well, best of luck. It looks like it's going to be hot.
It'll be hot.
That's good.
I don't know how everyone else will be, but I'll be okay with it. So.
I think a lot of people will be okay with it. Thanks, Barry.
Yep, thank you.
Head coach Barry Bessenden. of the Eagles, and we'll take a break. We'll talk with Kip Stender, girls golf, right after this.
Sunday on the season finale of Prairie Sportsman.
9 species of dotter that are known in the state. 3 were documented historically. It's just a single yellow stem, so it needs the plant to get its chlorophyll.
There's probably at least 4 toms around here.
Yelps, clucks, putts, and gobbles. These are maybe the most common sounds you might be familiar with, but these talkative turkeys have over 24 different vocalizations.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Hi, this is Paul from Schwendy's Garden Center on Highway 75 in Madison. I want to let everybody know that we are now open. Our hours are going to be Monday from 9 to 6 p.m., Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m., and Sunday from 12 to 4 p.m. Our special this week is all of our pots, all of our empty pots are 20% off, whether they're ceramic, plastic, self-watering, or cement. We also have a special on some Miracle-Gro potting soil to get those pots filled up with, and there's a rebate on those also. We're going to be open on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th, from 12 to 4 p.m. We have a free plant for all moms. And we also have lots of gift ideas, hanging baskets, various planters, gift decor, and gift certificates for you to give to your mother. So come on down to Schwendy's Garden Center, Highway 75, Madison, Minnesota. Thank you.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday afternoon for a Camden Conference softball matchup as the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks host the McRae Wolverines. First pitch, 4:30. That's the Wolverines and Blackjacks in softball action Monday afternoon right here on Q92. Tune in.
All right, we're going to turn our attention to Lacapral Valley Girls Golf with head coach Kip Stender. Kip's out of town today because his daughter's graduating, right, Kip?
Correct.
All right, you got to do that. Congratulations to Abby.
Yeah, yep, she's... played some golf for Crookston up here. The university's been really kind to her and good to her and financially helped out tremendously. So she's probably going to golf this fall again. They were able to get another year of eligibility due to COVID, and she's going to finish some other classes and golf this fall. So.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, good. Have a great family day today, then. So,
yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep. All right. Well, you had a busy week, just like Barry had.
Yeah, we had a nice week for weather. Started Monday with I took the JV junior high to Raymond, and the girls played well. I don't have those. Well, actually, I do. I think we had. Charlie Kranz shot an 82, and this was over at Stony Creek. Very, very wet there. We go there next Thursday for our final conference meet. Kaylee Rios had an 84. Aria Stewart had an 80. Kate Alstead had a 63. Peyton Sachs a 78. And Lindsay Lovickson a 68. And so those girls got some good experience on a really nice and challenging golf course. And then Tuesday, we were to Raymond for our conference meet there, hosted by Central Minnesota Christian. Lacapral finished first with a 173. McRae was second with a 224, and Community Christian was third with a 225. Sarah led the Eagles and won the event with a 39. Molly and Bella, Molly Halverson, Bella Jacobs tied for second with 42s, and Molly had the scorecard playoff breaker, so she finished second. Bella was third. Fourth was Caitlin with a 50, and Grace was fifth golfer with a 51, and Kate was a 57. And so girls did a nice job there. I'm thinking we improved a little bit from Thursday before. We played there the Thursday before, so we shaved a few strokes off. And then Thursday, we went to Valley Golf Course in Wilmer, a small, tight course, and finished first with a 182. Community Christian was second with a 200. McRae was third with a 229. There was a three-way tie for first, based on the scorecard playoff, which is the highest handicap hole goes first, and then if there's a ties, they go to the next toughest hole, and so on and so forth. But Alyssa Swedinski won the playoff with a 43. Bella Jacobs was second with a 43, and Sarah Halverson was third with a 43. Caitlin Kittleson had a real nice round. Could possibly be her personal best. I didn't look in the record books here, but she had a nice 48. And Molly Halverson had a 48. And then Kate Alstead finished with a 63. So that was our week. We had those two events. JV also played in Appleton on Thursday. I haven't been able to see those results yet. Yesterday, JV Junior High went to Dawson and did very well there. We had the first place in the junior high with Kate Alstead. I'll look back here and see the 51. Yeah, my son's in the background. He said 51. Peyton Sachs finished, I think, third with 54. And let's see here. And I don't have Carly's scores or, Peyton Sachs with a 54. Kaylee Rios and...
okay.
So they did good. So they're on track to support the team and help the team. Right now we'll be getting ready for conference a week from Monday. We have some junior high JV meets that they're making up. So those girls have three meets left. We do have Cottonwood varsity tournament on Tuesday. We are taking our JV junior high there. And so they will go and compete with the varsity. Give those girls some good experience and varsity experience there. And the varsity girls will be going to Eagle Creek on Monday to work on budding and fine-tuning, getting prepared for sections there in a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, so in a warmer weather, that'll help too. I bet you the girls like that.
Yeah, they've been really good at, we've gotten outside as much as we can, and we really haven't had time to consistently work on some parts of the game, and the short game is the most important, so we really need to gain more experience on some faster greens, and sections mm-hmm. is going to be tough. Bold has been bringing their scores down, so they're going to be pretty tough, so it'll be a fun competition, probably Bold and us at the sections to go to state, and we can't let our guard down at all, and we're going to have to just keep doing what we're doing, have confidence, be assertive, be kind, and be confident. So,
okay. Before I let you go, Kip, I got a question for you. Alyssa Swazinski was medalist on Thursday, I think you said, and tied with Isabella and Sarah. How do they break that? It's a three-way tie. How do they break the tie?
Okay, well, like true competition outside of the high school league, you would go and play off another hole or three holes, and then if there's still a tie, continue to play. But in high school league, like at the state tournament, they will not have any playoffs. You'll be co-champions or co-second place. But for our conference and other situations, it's a scorecard playoff. So every golf course has their holes ranked for basically toughness level, how tough. So the toughest hole, and it's called slope, so each course will have the toughest hole. So on the bottom of the scorecard, you might see a one, a two, a three on different holes, and that's usually indicates that hole that has the one by it is the toughest hole. So they'll go to that hole first and check the three girls' score. So if they all got fours on hole three, that was the toughest hole, then they'd go to the next hole. Hole seven was the second toughest. Well, so Alyssa Swedinski birdied it, and the other two got pars, so she gets first, and then they'll go to the next hole for, like, Bella and Sarah. Okay. So that's how they break those ties. It's a good, easy way to do it, and don't have to send kids back out on the course.
Okay, good. We have a few minutes here, Kip. Who's golfing well for the girls' teams?
Like you said, Alyssa Swedinski for Dawson there is mm-hmm. golfing well, and Lindsay Lund is doing very well for them, so there's two good golfers there. Our girls, they're all kind of, improving. Each of them has, had their better days, and But we're seeing some, like for Kate Alstead yesterday at the Dawson was really awesome for her to get that 51 and gain some more confidence there. And Bella Jacobs, we're starting to get more birdies and things like that, and that always helps, because when you get that double bogey or a triple and you can get a birdie in that round, it just balances that out and really makes you feel good. So we're seeing more birdies. Bella had an eagle at Eagle Creek.
An eagle?
Yeah, she drove an eagle. So, yeah, in hole 18, she had a nice drive just off the green a little ways and chipped in. So got a nice two there. And so I give Snicker bars for birdies, and so I had the first eagle there, and I didn't know what to do. You know, do I give a full pack of Snicker bars, or her dad said, you know, she had a bunch of three putts, so you probably don't need to give her anything. But but she earned the eagle, and she got a few Snicker bars. So
I need to golf with you, Kip.
Yeah, well, you got to get a birdie to get the Snicker bar. It doesn't count hitting the goose on the course there.
I get a birdie once in a while, but not very often.
Yeah, but I bet you can shoot 2-3 under.
Oh no, I don't think so.
under the water.
Under the water, yep. All right. So once again, what do you got coming up this week again?
So this week we have a Cottonwood Invitational. And we're taking our JV there for that. The varsity has their final conference meet on Thursday. And like I said, Monday they're going to head to Eagle Creek. We have some tee times, and then we're going to work on putting there. And then the following week's when we have our kind of our big week preparation for sections. We have conference on a week from Monday in Marshall at 10 o'clock. And then Friday, Saturday, we'll be heading down to the Tri-State Invitational at Bunker Hills.
Oh, that'll be a big one next weekend, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge one for the girls, and just be nice to get on a nice course and watch some really outstanding golfers. You know, you always learn when you're golfing with somebody, watching how they, you know, carry themselves and types of shots they might hit. So.
Okay. All right, real good, Kip. Thank you for the report from... where are you? Crookston this morning, I guess. So.
Yeah, in Grand Forks now. We'll be heading over to Crookston. The hotels were sold out there. So
for graduation, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, thanks, Kip, and we'll talk. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, thank you, Paul.
That's Head Coach Kip Stender of the Lac Parle Valley Girls Golf Team. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour, and when we come back to the coach's show, we'll visit with Head Coach Bart Hill of the baseball team right after this.
Shop T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson this Thursday and Friday for their spring and summer sale. Tom and Delight are taking 20% off store-wide. That's right, everything in the store is 20% off this Thursday and Friday. They'll be open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. T&D Barnwood Rustics, located along Highway 212 in Dawson.
Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
They're still trapped in the steel plant. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News, and Russian forces are said to be getting closer to where thousands of Ukrainian soldiers and civilians have been holed up for weeks.
An estimated 2,000 Ukrainian Marines, along with innocent civilians, including women and children, have been suffering, some badly wounded, in tunnels beneath the steel plant, sheltering from the Russians. The mayor says a high-end Ukrainian worker did give the Russians the information on how to access the tunnels, although the mayor could not say if that worker is considered a traitor or was forced by Russians.
Fox's Matt Finn, more than 500 civilians have been safely evacuated. On Monday, Russia will celebrate its victory over Nazi Germany in 1945. U.S. officials are urging any Americans in Russia to avoid large public gatherings that day. More demonstrations are expected in the U.S. as abortion advocates react to a draft Supreme Court ruling that overturns Roe v. Wade. The White House press secretary has also expressed disappointment.
Jen Psaki plainly stated that White House officials hope the final Roe v. Wade opinion does not look like the one that was leaked. And that means that White House officials share a goal with pro-abortion activists.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. Protesters could demonstrate tomorrow at churches nationwide. A survivor has been pulled from the rubble of a luxury hotel in Cuba's capital, and search crews with dogs are combing the debris, hoping to find more. A natural gas leak is being blamed for yesterday's explosion that killed at least 25 people. The hotel in the Old Havana neighborhood was undergoing renovations and was supposed to reopen next week. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, it's Will Kane, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Join me as I share my thoughts on a wide range of topics, from sports and pop culture to politics and business. With the help of newsmakers and personalities, I will provide you my free, unfiltered, uncancelable opinion on the hottest topics in America.
The Will Kane Podcast. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. America is listening to Fox News.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 77. Southerly winds 20 to 30 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows around 54. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Isolated thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 66. Daytime highs approaching 75 Monday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. 71 sunshine mixed with clouds at times Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 77 today. Lows level off around 54 tonight. We should top off around 66 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Right now, 63.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota. Madison Citywide Cleanup Day is today. That's going on from 8 to noon at the water treatment plant right along Highway 40 in Madison. There's no curbside pickup this year. You must bring your items over there. It's for City of Madison residents only, and proof of residency is required. The first pickup load is free per household for demolition items, household items. In addition, they're accepting scrap steel and metal appliances free of charge. There is a small charge for tires, electronics, plastic appliances, and a few other items. And household hazardous waste and yard waste will not be accepted. So again, that's cleanup day going on today from 8 to noon. Bring your items over to the city water treatment plant right along Highway 40 in Madison.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Hey, good morning once again, and welcome to the Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing the report with Paul Ramo at the control panel. I got to apologize. I walked in here a little late, and Paul says, you're never late, but I was waiting in line at the citywide cleanup, and man, oh man, are those guys doing a great job. It's amazing what people brought down there.
I had
everything, including the kitchen sink.
Oh, yeah, I saw a kitchen sink. So I rolled down my window. I go, how's it going, guys? Having a good time? And boy, did they just glare at me. It's not fun. Hauling other people's
junk. That's going to be going till noon, so they're going to sleep well tonight. Okay, talking baseball. Three games, Bart, this past week, and a great week for you.
Yeah, I know we've got a lot of coaches show today, so I'll go quickly. So, yeah, we had three conference games, all three section opponents. So, obviously, it was a huge week for us, not only in the section standings, but also the conference standings as well. Started out on Tuesday, we went down to Lakeview and took on Lakeview in Cottonwood. We won that game 8-0. In that game, we threw a one-hitter. It was just an infield hit. Avery Whitnable started, got the win, just gave up that one infield hit. No runs, obviously, or earned runs, no walks, two strikeouts. Blake Wolschlager threw in that game. He ended up throwing a couple innings. He gave up no hits and no runs, just one walk, three strikeouts. Caden Allpress threw the last inning. He gave up no hits and no runs, had one walk and one strikeout. Offensively in that game, we had eight hits to go with our eight runs. We did commit a couple errors, but Landon Sherm was 1-for-4 with an RBI. Caden Fernholz is 2-for-2. Had two runs. We had Blake Wolschlager was 1-for-3 with an RBI. We had Derek Molden was 1-for-1, scored a couple runs, but had a big two-run single with two strikes on him. He fouled off a pitch, and he got a two-run single and plated two runs out of that. TJ Mitchell, 2-for-4. He had a couple RBIs as well, and Dane Mortensen was 1-for-2, and he had an RBI. So overall, a great start to the week, Dick, and it was a beautiful night.
Yeah, it was, and finally we're getting some baseball, golf, tennis, weather. So softball, track, they all performed very well this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we hosted Canby, and it was our senior recognition night, and give out a shout out to Olivia Stoik, who not only ran out to the or was out at the softball game at 4:30 playing her trumpet for the national anthem. Then she came into town and did it before the baseball game. So kudos to her. But that game was a little more comfortable. It started off really weird, you know. Canby ended up scoring a run. We had back-to-back errors to start the game, and then Blake Wolschlager walked a guy, and then they stole home, which is very rare, especially with nobody out and the bases loaded. You don't see that, but they did, and they got their lone run. After that, we went out and talked to Blake and settled him down, so he ended up getting the win through all five innings, through a no-hitter, five-inning no-hitter, and gave up that one run, but it was not earned because they reached on errors, had two walks and 13 strikeouts in five innings. Pretty impressive. We had seven hits in that game. Landon Sherm was 1-for-2, scored a couple runs, had an RBI. He also walked twice. Caden Fernholz, again, swinging the hot bat. He was 2-for-3, had two-run singles. So he had four RBIs, also walked once in that game. Hunter Kahn was 2-for-3. He said he's an official Eagle now. He got his first hit as an Eagle, so he was 2-for-3. He also scored three runs. We had Tyler Schickadance. He was 1-for-2, scored a couple runs. He had two RBI. Dane Mortensen was 1-for-3, scored a couple runs, and he had one RBI. The great thing is our 6 through 9 hitters in that game, Dick, they scored 9 of our 12 runs. So they're getting on base and getting some hits and knocking some runs in. It's just awesome. And then last night was our final game of the week. We headed on down to Dawson for always a big game against our neighboring rivals. And again, started out not the best. Gave up a single, and Avery Whitnable hit the next batter. And after a couple outs, Cody Johnson had a single. We had a wild pitch. So they scored two runs and led 2-0 after one. But then we kind of settled down. Blake Wolschlager hit a big two-run home run to tie up the game. We scored a couple more in the third. We went on to an 8-2 win in that game. We ended up with 9 hits. We did commit an error, though. Landon Sherman was 1-for-3. He scored 3 runs at an RBI. Caden Fernholz was 1-for-5 is all, but he hit some really terrific long, deep fly balls. A center fielder ran one down, and as we remarked on the post game, their left fielder Gruel made a fantastic catch up against the fence. What we thought was at least going to be a double and possibly a home run, but he robbed him of that and made a fantastic catch. And so Caden just ended up with 1 hit out of 5 at-bats. Blake Wolschlager had 1 hit, but it was big, a 2-run home run. Avery Whitnable was 1-for-4. He scored a couple of runs. Caden Allpress was 1-for-2. He had an RBI. TJ Mitchell was 1-for-2. He had an RBI. Tyler Shickadance was 1-for-3. He had an RBI. Dane Mortensen was 1-for-3. So you look through the lineup, and I believe every spot but one had a base hit. And the only one that did not was Derek Molden, but he walked 3 times. So he got on base. So pitching that game, Avery Whitnable started through 6 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs. Just 1 was earned, 1 walk, struck out 8. And Caden Allpress through the last inning, gave up no hits and no runs. He did walk a couple batters and struck out 1. So that put us a perfect 3-0 on the week, Dick. Our record now is 6-2 and 4-2 in the conference.
Man, a busy week coming up.
Yeah, I just briefly mentioned JV played all 3 games this week, too. They beat Lakeview, I think it was 17-1, beat Canby 26-0, beat Dawson Boyd 5-1. And so they had a tremendous week. They can really hit the ball. The freshman team played a couple games. They lost 9-6 to Minnewaska. And then last night they played Wilmer, and it was a slugfest, but unfortunately we lost 24-18. Wow. So I talked to Coach Schmidt, and he said Taden Clark is just tearing the cover off the ball, and he goes, he's really playing good defense, so he wanted to specifically give him a shout out this week. So I'm not sure how the junior high did. I forgot to get a hold of Brian Moen, but, you know, just a great week. Got to give kudos to the AD, Tony Smith, for getting all these games. That's a lot of scheduling, but it was an awesome week of baseball for the Eagles.
And then let's talk about next week, starting already on Monday.
Oh, yeah. So we go down to Prinsburg Monday for another conference section game, and then the gauntlet starts. So we've got KMS at home Thursday. They are currently, I think, ranked number 3 in the state. They are undefeated. They're only giving up about 1 run per game. They got one of the best pitchers in the state, and Alex Call, and we probably will see him. And then we go to Morris Friday night, always a spirited contest. That's my hometown. Used to be in the West Central Conference. We were with them. Saturday we host our tournament. We play YME at 11 o'clock and then Border West around 3 o'clock. But just want to give a big shout out to the 2012 state tournament team. We are going to recognize them before the game on Saturday before the 3 o'clock game. It's the 10-year anniversary. And as you both know well, you guys were doing those games and got a fortunate call of being down at Target Field to call a championship game. So it should be exciting. Hopefully they can get off their planters and get in for a little while, those that are out farming, and the rest of the guys can at least stop in and say hi, and we're going to recognize them. So
okay, and it was fun to drive over to Dawson yesterday to watch the progress in the field. I know the frost is still coming out, and some people had some difficulty, but I saw some dust flying, too, and the wheels are turning, finally, for the farmers.
Yeah, and that's...
It's nice for them to sit in their tractor and hear sports on Q92, and we appreciate all our sponsors allowing us to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It just really is an awesome job, the radio station, all of our sponsors, for bringing the games. Many people don't get a chance to get to them, so that's one way they can be a part of it.
Well, thanks, Bart, and best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning. Part of it taped and part of it will be live because of the tournament going on. We'll take this break and call John Sherb. He's down in Sioux Falls. We'll talk about boys track after this.
The Country Butcher downtown Dawson invites you to come on in and take advantage of the specials this week. Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday 9 to 1, Sunday by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. You can give them a call at 320-769-2238 or email thecountrybutcherllc@gmail.com. That's The Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
The Forget-Me-Not Greenhouse, 9 miles south, 1 mile east of Marietta, is open until mid-June, Monday through Saturday, 9 to dusk. Owners Wes and Joyce Shepherd have a greenhouse with rows of bedding plants, perennials, annuals, beautiful variety of colors and geraniums, hanging baskets. Hurry to the Forget-Me-Not Greenhouse for the best selection of eye-catching planters. Look for the Forget-Me-Not Greenhouse sign to guide you along the way to Shepherd's Greenhouse, 9 miles south, 1 mile east of Marietta. For something special, call the Shepherds at 507-277-5516. That's 507-277-5516.
Hi, this is Paul from Schwendy's Garden Center on Highway 75 in Madison. I want to let everybody know that we are now open. Our hours are going to be Monday from 9 to 6 p.m., Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m., and Sunday from 12 to 4 p.m. Our special this week is all of our pots, all of our empty pots are 20% off, whether they're ceramic, plastic, self-watering, or cement. We also have a special on some Miracle-Gro potting soil to get those pots filled up with, and there's a rebate on those also. We're going to be open on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th, from 12 to 4 p.m. We have a free plant for all moms. And we also have lots of gift ideas, hanging baskets, various planters, gift decor, and gift certificates for you to give to your mother. So come on down to Schwendy's Garden Center, Highway 75, Madison, Minnesota. Thank you.
Back here at the studio for the Culture Show, we're on the phone. John Sherb is down in Sioux Falls for the Howard Wood relays and that. And then so he does have something going on there for the Eagles, but... First off, I believe you had two events this past week, so let's hear about the results for both the boys and the girls, John.
Yeah, we ran at Monty, which is again, and then we turned around and went to Miami on Thursday. So Monty was a nice day on there. It turned out to be some respectful weather for a week for once, so it was good. Boys 100, Grant Martinson was 24th and 13:49. Brayson Boyk, we put him in the 200. Just he was done with everything else and just a... He was not happy with his jumping performance, so he let him kind of take it out on the track and see what he could run. When he was fifth in the 200 at 24.44, Eli Higlin was 19th at 26.61. The boys 400 meter dash, Keegan Wick was fifth at 57.68, and Mason Bramer was 15th at 1:34. 800 meter run, Peyton Sterrud was seventh. Time of 2:17.49. Justin Perkins was 12th at 2:29, and Jordan Perkins was 14th at 2:31. 1600 meter run, Peyton Sterrud won it with a time of 4:55.69. I think that's within 3 seconds of his personal best, so that's really good to see him close net. Gavin Carl won the 2 miles, so that's his first varsity victory as a ninth grader with a really nice time, 11:14.71. That is personal best for him. James Weber was third in the hurdles, 18.94. And then we went into our relays, and 4x8 boys, again, were fourth at 9:31.75. I'll get their names. I'm going to keep moving so we can get you guys ready, everybody else. And then also our 4x4 boys, they were fourth at 3:52.88. James Weber was third in the 300 hurdles at a time of 45.62. Joseph Felton was ninth, time of 59.88. And I believe that's the first time he's broken 1 minute, so that's a nice one there. Brayson Boyk was second in the high jump, 5'11". Eli Hagelin was fourth, a time of fourth at 5'5". Long jump, Brayson was second in the long jump, 18'11". And then also, and Eli Hagelin was 11th at 16.4. Triple jump, Brayson won the triple at a 40-footer. And then Eli Hagelin was 7th in 36'3". Scoring-wise, we ended up finishing 3rd in the boys. 4th, excuse me, in the boys. We were at 39.5. Morris Area won it with 88. Girls runs, 100-meter dash. Bailey Bothan really has come on really, really nice. She was our top sprinter there. She was third overall, 13.92, and Peyton Moe was sixth at 14.01. 200-meter dash, Addy Tufnell was fifth, 29.09, and Bailey Botham was sixth at 29.15. And in the 400-meter dash, Micaiah Poost was fifth, time of 109. Morgan Anderson was 11th at 110, and then Daytona Bissett was 12th at 110.84. 800-meter run, Chloe Glegge was 7th at 258.58. And in the 1,600-meter run, Chloe was 6th in there at 618.96, and that is at her personal best also. And then the girls' 100-meter dash, Ayanna Hasted was 3rd at 18.09. Calista Borman was 4th at 18.28. And I believe that's really close to personal best. If it's not, that's really, really close for her. Ayanna Hasted was 8th in the 300 hurdles, 56.39. Our 4x1 was 5th at 58.72. Our 4x2 girls was 2nd at 2 flat. 4x4 was 440.04, and they were 5th. And our 4x8 was 3rd at 1145.68. One thing on the girls, we've kind of rebuilt some of our girls. We had some injuries and things like that, moved some girls around. So the girls have really been doing a nice job of stepping up and replacing and filling in, and they've been handling and understanding it really, really good. And that's good to see. We've got that kind of that gelling going on. Everybody's covering for each other. Calista Borman was 5th in the high jump at 4'6". That is a personal best for her. Also in the long jump, she had a PR also. I think she had three PRs for the day, if I remember right, everything. She was 3rd in the long jump at 13 feet 8 inches. Lainey Bartunek was 15th at 12'7". And the girls' triple, let's see, Calista Borman was 3rd, 30 feet 4 inches. Callie Kahn was 4th at 30 feet 3. Lainey Bartunek was 10th at 28.9. Girl shot, Cameron Lee went with Dust 32.07. Paige Meyer was 2nd at 30.04. And then Isabel Long Henry was 4th at 29.10. And Callie Kahn was 7th at 28.7. Girls discus, Paige Meyer was 3rd at 85.2. Cameron Lee was 6th at 81.6. And Alyssa Long Henry was 10th at 73.1. Girls were 3rd with 45.5. So again, that's just we're slowly working as we go. Then we went Thursday, we went to Granite. We really had some kids that were sore. We really rebuilt things on the go. I know relay teams was changing as the meet went on just because of the soreness we were going, but I really was impressed with our kids would step up, and if they weren't feeling the grace, they still went through if it wasn't a nagging injury, and that's good to see. 100-meter dash, Peyton Moe was our top runner. She was 6th at 13.99. Bailey Botham was 7th at 14.08. 200-meter dash, Bailey Botham was 29.62 at 6th, and Peyton Moe was 9th at 29.90. 400-meter dash, Addy Tufnell. It's her first time running the open quarter this year. She was 2nd at 105.11. Micaiah Poost was 5th at 107.71, and that's a personal best for her. And Daytona Bissett was 11th at 110.68. Girls 800-meter run, Taylor Wood was 11th at 251. And then Harper Grunholz, young 7th grader, brought along for the first time. She went 252 in the 800. In the girls' mile, Harper Grunholz was our top runner. She was 4th overall, 644. Paisley Martinson was 6th. Another 7th grader came along, 659.40. And then Kendall Johnson was 7th at 724. Chloe Glegge ran her first 2-mile of her career. She was 2nd overall at 14.07. Ayanna Hasted was 2nd in the 100 hurdles at 18.64. Calista Borman was 3rd at 18.73. And the 300 hurdles, Hasted was 9th at 56.18. And Addy Doctor was 16th at 102. 4x1 ran our fastest time of the year. They went their 5th at 56.27. Our 4x2 was 4th at 159.43. And our 4x4, we were 6th at 446.58. And then we kind of put together our best 4x8 crew, and they went 11.21s for a season best there. They were 3rd overall. And then in the high jump, Callie Kahn was 9th overall at 4.4. Ayanna Hassel was 9th also at 4.4. Girls long jump, Lainey Bartunek was 8th at 13 feet 7 inches. Girls triple, Calista Borman was 5th overall, 30 feet. Then Kelly Connors right behind her, sixth at 29.8. Girls shot put, Cameron Lee was first, 35 feet four, and that's where she's going to need to keep tossing. That's a good, really good toss for her. Isabella Long-Henry was fifth at 13 feet nine. Paige Meyer was sixth, 29.7. Kelly Conn was seventh at 28.7.5. Girls discus, Paige Meyer was fifth at 80 feet 11. Isabella Long-Henry was sixth at 79 feet six. Cameron Lee was 10th at 75.6. Boys, really just kind of slid some things around. Justin Perkins had a huge race in the 800. I'd say he probably passed five runners the last 200 meters of the race and ran a PR of 219.20. And he'd been running 23s, 25s, so that was really good to see him break open big. Jordan Perkins was 11th at 230.78. And what we did in the mile, Mason Bramer and Gavin Carl ran the 4x8, and they turned around probably 20 minutes to a half an hour later. They ran the mile just to see where that, and they were second and third. Mason was second at the time at 5:09.5, and Gavin Carl was third at 5:11. Peyton Sturrud won the 2 mile at 10:37.34. Joseph Felton was eighth at 13.42. James Weber was fourth in the hurdles at 18:14. Boys, 300 hurdles, he was second in the 300 hurdles at 45:05. We ran a 4x2 for the first time of the year. They got sixth. They were 141.64. 4x4 was fourth at 352.84. That's our fastest time of the year. Boys, 4x8. Ran the fast time of the year so far. We put our best four in at 906.34. High jump, Brayson Boyk, only high jump. That's all because he's competing today down at Howard Woods. So he high jump. He went 6 foot, really had a great attempt at clearing six. He probably could have gone 6.3. Eli Hagelin had his best at 5.8, and he was second. And in the long jump, Eli was 11th in the long jump, 17 feet 5. Eli Hagelin was 5th in the triple at 37.9, and Keegan Wick was 11 to 35.1 on that. And scoring wise, girls were third with 103.5 points, and then the boys were also third with 84 points. So a very, very productive meet. A lot of kids really, you know, doing that extra and fighting through some of the toughness and soreness of having our first quality, you know, two meets in a week and nicer weather.
Yeah, that's for sure. It really helps to have the weather nice and looks favorable for the up-and-coming week, too. But let's talk about today.
Yeah, Brayson jumped last night in the long jump last night, or yesterday afternoon. So he got in there. He was in the first flight. There was 48 kids in there. He ended up going 19 feet 10 inches. So he wasn't that far off. I think he missed making the finals by 7 inches.
Okay.
So he was right in the thick of things there. So that was good to see him handling it. You know, unfortunately, he had to have a distance coach helping him with the jumping saw because Ron wasn't able to make it down, or Joel. So they put their third choice, probably their last choice, as to helping him coach him. So, but it was fun letting him go and just working with him. So it's always nice to do that. And then today, he's triple jumped. Well, he finished 19th, so he wasn't far out with that out of 48 jumpers. And today, right now, he is just getting ready to jump, go down the runway here in about 5 minutes in the triple, and he's in the second flight there. So Ron is here, so now we got the brains in the family here. We'll be fine. Now we can sit back, and there won't be any problems at all. So he's going to do that here, and we'll see what we get.
Okay. And then next week, what do you have?
Next week, we got one meet. We're now pretty much on Thursdays the rest of the season now.
Okay.
We're getting close to conference, things like that. Thursday, we're at Benson. I know the junior high is also at Lakeview on Thursday also, so we really got to split our squad up a little bit if we're going to do that, especially on the girls' side, since we're incorporating so many 7th and 8th graders into this varsity level. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do with that one. So it'll be good to go north, see Benson, see some of the northern teams that we haven't seen in a while, so it'll be a good change of pace.
Good, good. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on the first off today, and then on the one meet next week. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, John.
All right, sounds good.
John Sherb on boys and girls track. We'll get on the phone and talk to softball with Scott Swatsky after this.
Happy Mother's Day from Monica's Apparel and Accessories in Awesome Dawson on Chestnut Street. I want to take a few moments to thank all the mothers out there, including my mom that's in heaven. And I just looked up some definitions of being a mother. Any person that takes care of a child, cares for them, loves them, is a mother. So at Monica's, come on in, check out all my new apparel that has arrived, and pick out something for your mama, a gift certificate or an outfit, and then sign up to win a $100 gift certificate in memory of my mama. I'm open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 5, or by appointment, and like me on Facebook.
You name it, we design it. Did you know Appleton Building Center offers design and planning of your home projects so you can be sure every square foot is used wisely? Not only home projects, but your farm building projects as well. Appleton Building Center takes the stress out of building. At Appleton Building Center, we order brands you want and pledge friendly service, customer satisfaction, and fair prices. Check out Appleton Building Center's website at appletonbuildingcenter.com or call Ryan or Tom at 320-289-2714. Building today for tomorrow's needs. Appleton Building Center, Appleton, Minnesota.
Back here at the radio station for the Coach's Show, Scott Swasey's on the line talking softball. Two doubleheaders conference-wise, and girls did a good job, you know, under darn good weather, Scott, huh? Finally.
Well, I tell you what, it was sure nice to get out there and play in nice weather and minimal wind. So yeah. It was the way I think things are supposed to be.
Right, there you go. So, and good results, too.
Yeah, we had a really nice week, and I feel like the girls are just starting to click here. You know, we still haven't had a ton of outside practices because it's kind of game now with the crazy spring we've had. So they're picking it up on the fly. And we started off our first on Tuesday. We played Lakeview, and Lakeview's in a little bit of a rebuilding phase here. And we, with our veteran leadership and veteran players, turning basically everybody as letter winners from last year, we were a bit much for them. And so we started that first game off, and the bats were hot, as well as our pitching. Taylor Shelstead was our starting pitcher in the circle, and she really threw a phenomenal game. It ended up only being a three-inning game because our bats were so hot and our defense was so solid. But she threw outstanding. So in those three innings, Taylor had four strikeouts and no walks, and then only gave up one hit.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of action, but when there was, our girls made the plays. But offensively, I mean, that's where all the action is at, I guess, for us in this game. We ended up winning 16-0.
Wow.
We had 12 hits, and then, as you know, there's a 15-run rule after three innings there. So Taylor Shelstead not only did it in the circle, but at the plate as well, going 2-for-3. And I tell you, she's just been a phenomenal leadoff hitter for us, ripping the ball. Riley Lund was 1-for-2 with a walk. Tori Bungarten, 2-for-3, again, having a hot stick with a couple RBIs. Taylor Kittleson, this kid is, you know, she's 2-for-3. With three RBIs, and I got to look here, but yeah, two doubles, and she is on like a double streak in a little bit here. Well, it's like every time she's at bat, she hits a double. So she's packing a lot of punch in her swing as well. And then Kendall Shelstead, a ninth grader, 2-for-2, tore the cover off the ball as well. And then Ayanna Gibson, our right fielder, just did a super job. So we had a couple, you know, some of our RBI leaders here were Ayanna Gibson, Taylor Kittleson with three apiece, and then Addie Bond, Tori Bungarten, and Taylor Shelstead with two apiece. So just offensively, we were too much for them to handle in that first game. So got out of there with a 16-0 game one victory.
Okay.
Then we moved on to game two, and this was an opportunity for, I had talked to Kendall. We've got some upcoming pitchers that I wanted to get some experience. And Kendall Shelstead, she's a freshman. Val Piotr is a freshman, and then we have Hannah Oy, who's those three girls are working really hard on the JV to develop their skill in the circle. So Kendall got the opportunity to start this game too as a ninth grader, and I was wondering how she would respond. You know, that's a big stage and first varsity action in the circle, and the heart's got to be pumping. Well, she responded pretty darn well. She matching her sister, she threw a one-hitter through five innings. So Kendall's got a strong arm that, you know, she's got a little zip on it too. We did give up three runs. She had four strikeouts and seven walks, and that's something that we're going to work on developing here in the off season, so that we can try to avoid getting those base runners off. But I really couldn't be prouder of her for her first varsity opportunity in the circle. Just outstanding. And then offensively, we did a really nice job here as well. We finished up in five innings in this game, won the game 16-3. So again, the sticks were rolling. Taylor Kittleson, here's that stat again, Dick. It's she had three doubles. She's 3-for-3 with three doubles, three RBIs. And then Riley Swatsky had a home run over the fence. It was a no-doubter, which was fun to see. You know, anytime they can jump off the bat like that, it's kind of fun to trot around the bases. So we were hitting for power for sure in that game. Taylor Shelstead remained hot at the plate, going 4-for-4. Riley was 3-for-4. Taylor Bungarten, 2-for-3. Taylor Kittleson, 3-for-3 with those three doubles. Maddie Matthews was 1-for-3 for us, and Addie Bond was 1-for-3 with a couple RBIs. And then Claire Borstead was 1-for-3. So we did a really nice job at the plate again.
Good.
One of the things I want to mention about this game is every one of our JV girls, they did not have a game that night because Lakeview does not have a JV team. So it was fun because every one of our JV girls got to get into the game and get their first varsity experience in one form or another, whether it was a couple innings in the field or an at-bat or a base running. So it was fun to see the excitement in their eyes, like, hey, here it is. Here's the stage we're looking to get to. And they all did an outstanding job.
Good.
So that kind of concludes our two victories with Lakeview. And that brought us into a big game big doubleheader on Thursday with Mineota Cambi, or Cambi Mineota. I'm not sure which way is the proper way to say it. But that's a team that made me a little nervous because they've split with some of the more competitive teams in the conference. And so, but on this particular night, it was senior night, and Bart had mentioned earlier, we started off the night with honoring our seniors, Addie Bond, Tori Bungarten, Taylor Kittleson, and Riley Swatsky for their years of commitment and dedication to the program. And then Olivia Stoick, like he said, played the anthem on her trumpet. So it was kind of a pretty cool start to the game. And the girls came ready to play. Part of that was, you know, we talked about, hey, if you play with some intensity this week and things go well, maybe we can rest our bodies and take a break. As a matter of fact, if you hear some noises from the basement at the house, we've got about eight girls getting their hair and makeup done for prom today. So it's kind of crazy in the Swatsky house today. But so I don't know if it was the intensity of the game or the fact that they wanted a day off to go get their nails done. They came out with great intensity in all phases of the game. Riley Swatsky threw in the first game here. She was very strong for the first time all year. Her changeup was working, which really makes that fastball pop then. So she ended up going six innings in the first game. The first game we won 13-2.
Okay.
In six innings. So again, our bats were hot. But she went six innings, had 14 strikeouts,
wow.
four walks, gave up five hits and two runs. So she was strong and when she needed to be, bared down. And you know, her and Isabel Gerdes have just been kind of a fun combination. Isabel's been working her tail off behind the plate, and we've got her doing all sorts of different things, really kind of taking control of the game as far as calling things and making sure that we're maneuvering to different locations behind the plate, so we're not just throwing balls down the middle of the plate. But offensively, we've got Chelsea again, our leadoff hitter, doing her job. She went 4 for 4 with 3 RBIs, scored 3 runs. Riley Lund had an outstanding first game, going 4 for 5 with 3 RBIs. Riley Swatsky went 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs, and Ayanna Gibson went 2 for 3. So they just really, really did an outstanding job. Taylor Kittleson with a couple RBIs, Riley Lund with 3 RBIs, Riley Swatsky with a couple RBIs, and Taylor Shelstead with 3 RBIs. And so, you know, anytime you can score some runs and get ahead in the game, it just makes everything a little bit easier.
Right.
If they did get runners on base, we didn't have to worry too much because there was a nice little cushion there. So defensively, I thought we played a solid game too. Any play that we needed to make, we made. So I know that that helps Riley's confidence in the circle too, knowing that she has a very strong veteran group behind her that is going to make plays. So just a confidence builder for sure.
Right.
And then we went into the second game of that game, and you know, that's a lot of times where things can happen. You have that 10-minute little break, and mentally you can lose some focus, but our girls didn't in this game. We won that second one 9-2. Came out and just did again what we needed to do. We did have Riley throw that second game again. Softball is different than baseball. It's a pretty natural motion for your arm. So really what gets tired is your legs and your hips, and you know, you might get a little bit of muscle soreness. But she threw all 7 innings in the second game as well with 11 strikeouts. Gave up 4 hits, had 3 walks, and the earned runs, she was mad. I called a pitch that I shouldn't have called, and she didn't necessarily hit the spot we wanted to hit, but ended up giving up the hit that scored those 2 runs. Otherwise, I think I'll take responsibility for that. You know, the coaches, I think I heard Sherb saying, it's just I wasn't smart enough to make the right decision in the moment. So, but offensively, again, girls did a great job. Riley Lund stayed hot, going 2 for 3. Tori Bungarten was 2 for 4, and just got timely RBIs. Maddie Matthews had a couple RBIs, Ayanna Gibson and Riley Lund, and we just got out to that lead and kept control of everything. So Riley Lund and Riley Swatsky had a couple doubles. Isabel Gerdes had a triple, and I told Paul on the radio that night, I've never seen anybody slide as athletically as she does. And that might not make sense to some people, but like, this girl, she reads where the ball is going to be coming, and I think 3 times already this year it's been a head first slide where she gets kind of outside of that base path and is sliding, so one of her arms is just going to hook the base. Dick, you probably understand. I can't explain this maybe well enough, but it's like a big league slide that she sure makes. And so the instincts, it's amazing. So but she had a big triple, and then some stolen bases. Addie Bond, Ayanna Gibson, Riley Lund, Taylor Shelstead, all with some stolen bases here. And so just another quality win for the girls, 9-2. And that, like I said, that's a team that Candy Mineota team is splitting with some of the better teams. Right. So the fact that we had not only 2 victories, but two
convincing wins.
Convincing victories was... I think that was a big statement game for us.
Good. Well, I know last week we were in Russia. We still are. We still have one more coach to talk to, but we have a couple minutes. I wanted you to talk a little bit. Last week didn't have time, so let's spend a little minute, couple about your other programs. Your JV, you mentioned, got in the Lakeview second game, and they also probably played Camby Mineota and some other teams earlier in the year, and then your junior high program as well.
Yeah, so I was able, last night we didn't have practice, so I was able to get out to the junior high game and help Sue out with that and get a chance to chat with our girls there. they did a nice job. You know, they're improving every single game. They're like sponges, those young girls are. They want to learn. They're competitive. They beat Montevideo last night convincingly.
Good.
In the first game against the 7th grade group, and we have kind of a mixed group of 7th and 8th graders. And then in the second game against Montevideo's 8th graders, they had a more difficult time, but did still did some good things and some positive takeaways.
Right.
Our JV girls are, I mean, it's been kind of tough, Paul or Vic, because we've got a lot of the teams we're playing right now don't have JV teams.
Right.
So unfortunately, they have missed out on a few opportunities, but Tony is working really hard to get them games. So this coming week, for example, YME does not have a JV team, so Tony was able to reschedule a second game with Dawson Boyd where they're going to be coming.
Okay.
He was also able to find them a tournament this coming Saturday at Clinton Graceville Beardsley.
Okay.
So they're going to get three games in there, and this is a up and coming group of ninth graders that are definitely going to be program contributors with some nice athleticism, strong work ethics, and just an IQ that is developing, but developing quickly. So
right.
I'm very excited about both groups.
Good. Yeah, and they're just as important as your varsity, because they are the players of the future, and they look up to your varsity players, especially your seniors, and want to contribute when it's their turn. So
exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Well, thanks. Next week.
Yeah, real quick, next week we've got Tuesday we have a doubleheader at YME. The rest of our games are on the road. So Thursday we play RCW Bold. That's a new pairing, and that's another interesting team that we don't know much about with the Bold edition, but
right.
They've been competitive. And then on Saturday we get a chance to go down and play on Marshall. You know, our goal is to get down there in section play if things go right and the ball bounces right. So Tony got us the opportunity to play in a tournament down there so we can see what those fields are like. And so we'll see Red Rock Central in one game and Redwood Valley in another game.
Okay.
So get a chance to, Red Rock Central is a section opponent, so
yep.
We'll see how things go.
Then during the week, Paul can make contact with you to talk about those games prior to Saturday for
that sounds
the
good.
Culture Show. Okay,
yep.
Well, thanks for the review of your week. Better check downstairs to see how the beauty pageant is going on.
I think I'll stay away from that.
And Paul will talk to you, and we'll have you on next week as well.
That sounds good. Thanks for your support. We appreciate it.
That's Scott Swatsky on softball. We'll get on the phone and talk to Austin Ireland about tennis.
The 61st Annual Hanley Falls Fire Department Smelt Fry is coming up this evening, going on from 3 this afternoon till 9 tonight. They'll also have pollock on the menu. Proceeds go toward the Hanley Falls Fireman Relief Association, and everyone's invited. That's in Hanley Falls coming up this evening. Don't forget the City of Madison citywide cleanup is today. Bring your items over to the water treatment plant along Highway 40 between 8 a.m. and 12 noon today. There will be no curbside pickup.
Eden's Green Nursery and Landscape in Montevideo is open. They are eager to assist you with your lawn care and gardening needs. You can pick up shrubs, trees, plantings, roses, perennials, and more beautiful flowers. Eden's Green Nursery and Landscape is a full greenhouse. They also have a very unique gift and merchandise area. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and close Sundays. That's Eden's Green Nursery and Landscape, located 5.5 miles east of Montevideo on Highway 7. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday afternoon for a Camden Conference softball matchup as the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks host the McRae Wolverines. First pitch, 4:30. That's the Wolverines and Blackjacks in softball action Monday afternoon right here on Q92. Tune in.
Shop T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson this Thursday and Friday for their spring and summer sale. Tom and Delight are taking 20% off store-wide. That's right, everything in the store is 20% off this Thursday and Friday. They'll be open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. T&D Barnwood Rustics, located along Highway 212 in Dawson.
Back here now talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland. You had a busy week as well, but weather-wise, had a treat finding out what spring was really supposed to be like. So
yeah, I can feel it.
Go ahead.
Got the sunburn on my arms there, sort of.
All right.
But we went to Wilmer on Monday. That was a tough matchup. We lost that one 4-3. 1 and 2 singles. Jackson Buehr, he played a nice match, 6-1, 6-0. And then Liam Risch, he got the win there too for us. Matt Martinson and Luke Stock at 3rd and 4th singles. They ended up losing their matchup. Matt Martinson said he played the best game he's played all year. That's how he's kind of tough. And Luke Stock, the freshman, he's getting better and growing. Our one doubles, Levi Olson and Gavin Stoltz, they took on a tough doubles team there and lost that one in 3 sets. Our second doubles team, Wyatt Wiebe and Nate Gruhl, they ended up winning their matchup. And third doubles teams are really electrifying, but they ended up losing their match in 3 sets as well. So we had two doubles there, 1 and 3 that went to 3 sets. And then on Tuesday we had the Granite Falls, and they got a very very tough team there. I think they're looking at number 3 or 4 seed in the section. Jeff Lollum, he's got a good squad. He was coach of the year last year for Class A. We had to lose that one 6-1. Jackson Buehr, he took on Ian Clark. Ian Clark went to state last year. He went to state last year. We had Jackson Torgerson. He was number 2 single for Wyoming. He ended up beating Liam Risch in a tough matchup, 6-2, 6-4. Matt Martinson and Luke Stock at 3rd and 4th singles ended up losing their matchup. And then our doubles team won doubles as Olsen and Stoltz. They're starting to get together, starting to gel. Ended up they losing their matchup, 6-4, 6-2. And then our second doubles, they got a win there. Nate Gruhl and, excuse me, Jordan Holland, sorry about that. I'm hauling fertilizer here. It's a little busy, but, they were playing well. They're really gelling. Our third doubles lost a tough close matchup there. Gunnar Olsen and Garrett Kostad.
Okay.
We had our West Central Conference tournament yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a bunch of guys that are just sunburnt. I tell you what, they are sunburnt to be best for sure. So Jackson Buehr at number 1 single, he had the number 4 seed. He ended up winning his first matchup against Quigley from Montevideo. They lost to Tate Rickman. Tate Rickman, that kid is known around the whole state. This kid, he's a returning, you know, he's been to the state tournament multiple times. Luckily, we don't see them in our section, but they ended up losing him. Tate won the tournament. And then Jackson ended up losing to Kennedy Schmiesing, another state entrant. Jackson ended up getting 4th place overall in the conference tournament yesterday. The team-wise, Minnewaska won the team. They're undefeated in the conference. Second thing is Liam Risch. He got the number 5 seed. He lost to Torgerson from YME, 6-3, 6-4. Ended up losing his second-round matchup, or he won his next matchup against Andrew Soden. And then he ended up getting 5th place. Liam actually had a golf tournament Thursday, GV Golf in Appleton. He got 3rd place for that. So
okay.
Nice to have a multi-sport guy in his hometown, so... Got to drive through Appleton. It's kind of nice when you got to go that way. I always like to drive through Appleton and pick him up at his house. It's a lot less to worry about. A third single, so Nate Gruhl, he was gone. He had prom on Friday. So we ended up having Brody Boston and Tony Reek play off in practice. A couple of hungry freshmen. We would like to take them both, but we took the winner of the challenge match, and that was Brody Boston. We threw him to the wolves because, you know, instead of bumping everyone else up and put everybody else in a disadvantage, we threw Bob Gordon, and he played well. You know, ended up losing his first match to New Orleans Spicer, 6-0, 6-0. And then lost to Austin Sweep, the talented wrestler, 8-1 in the sixth-place matchup. So Brody got seventh. And then Luke Stock, he was the number 3 seed. He ended up beating his kid from Minnewaska, 6-4, 6-4. Lost a tough one to Kalen Brock in the tiebreaker. And then lost 8-4 in the third-place matchup. So he did, Luke Stock ended up getting fourth place. Won doubles with the number 5 seed, Bolson and Stoltz. They beat the Ostendorf and Hagen from Montevideo, and then they ended up losing to the eventual winners, Minnewaska, in the semifinals. And then they lost to a couple kids from Newland and Spicer and ended up getting fourth place.
Okay.
And the second doubles, we switched things up. Matt Martinson's been playing 3 singles, but we moved him in Nate Grubel's spot. They ended up being the number 2 seed. They ended up getting fourth place. They beat the Kids McCray, lost to Montevideo, and then they ended up losing to Nolan Spicer, 8-5. And then the electrifying third doubles team of Gunnar Olsen and Garrett Kostad ended up getting fourth place. They were number 4 seed, though. They lost in a tiebreaker in the semifinals against the YME kids that they played on Tuesday, and that was one heck of a match. You know, it was 11-9 in that tiebreaker, ended up losing that one. But yeah, you know, that's Gunnar Olsen has really been playing well, and Garrett's also getting his serve down. You know, Luke Stock at the semifinals, you know, I think the weather really took effect to a lot of us. We're not used to this, you know. And
for sure.
Our energy levels are kind of down, you know. Yeah. Looking around, some of the guys, they're just tired and sad looking. I said, what, you know, what, are you sad Captain Kangaroo got canceled or what? They just look kind of beef. But, you know, and the bus left at 6:30. You know, I didn't get home till a little after 8, you know. So it's a long day for us, but.
Right.
I'll feed some aloe lotion and we'll get back at it, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Next week.
Yeah, next week we're kind of, I'll get some outfit. We have some practice time next week. JV's got a match on Tuesday with Brandon Hurley, and we got some, you know, got a good freshman out there, so we should get against Montevideo. We host Montevideo.
Okay.
But Saturday we take down a couple section opponents from down south, Pipestone and Laverne.
Okay.
So hopefully, you know, we might, you know, if we beat Pipestone, you know, we have a good chance at number 4 seed. If not, you know, we know, in order to beat the man, I got to beat the man.
All right. Well, Paul will probably contact you during the week if you're going to be gone on Saturday, so can talk about that one match you have on Tuesday on the next Culture Show. So best of luck, and thanks for the report this morning.
Thanks much, Cole, baby.
Austin Ireland on tennis. We'll take this break and finish out another Culture Show after this.
Sunday on the season finale of Prairie Sportsman.
9 species of dotter that are known in the state. 3 were documented historically. It's just a single yellow stem, so it needs the plant to get its chlorophyll.
There's probably at least 4 toms around here.
Yelps, clucks, putts, and gobbles. These are maybe the most common sounds you might be familiar with, but these talkative turkeys have over 24 different vocalizations.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, May 6th through Monday, May 9th in Theater 1, Father Stew, starring Mark Wahlberg, rated R. That's Father Stew in Theater 1. In Theater 2, it's Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, rated PG-13. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Back here in the studio, Paul Ramo and Dick Newman, and another Culture Show in the books, and... we still rush the coaches, but with 7 spring sports, it's amazing to get them all in an hour and a half, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening to it, because you can't be at 7 places at one time. So, we've got 3 sick jokes, Dick Newman's. They're called dad jokes. Here's number 1. How do you get a squirrel to like you? Well, of course, you act like a nut. Number 2. Why don't eggs tell jokes? Well, you know, they would crack each other up. And number 3. Did you hear the rumor about butter? Well, I'm not going to spread the news. Well, thanks for listening to The Culture Show. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Thank you.
Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Mobilizing on Mother's Day. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Abortion advocates could take their anger to church on Sunday. They've been protesting a Supreme Court draft opinion that leaked draft would overturn Roe versus Wade.
Several pro-abortion groups, including one called Rise Up for Abortion Rights, are now encouraging protesters to target Catholic churches tomorrow. On the Rise Up website, it says participants may wear Handmaid's Tale-style outfits. That's a nod to a TV show about forced motherhood. They plan to pass out flyers and perhaps do a die-in where protesters would play dead.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. Five of the Supreme Court justices are Catholic, and a sixth was raised in the faith. As Russian forces try to make inroads in eastern Ukraine, they're blowing up bridges as a way to halt Ukrainian counterattacks. In the southern part of the country, desperate efforts to get civilians out of Mariupol.
Over the past 2 days, more than 500 civilians have been evacuated from the steel plant through corridors organized by the United Nations. While officials in Moscow agreed to a ceasefire during this time period, Russian forces continued to bomb the plant from the air and the ground.
Fox's Trey Yingst. The leader of Al-Qaeda is weighing in on the war in Ukraine. In a pre-recorded video, Ayman al-Zawahiri says U.S. weakness and decline is the reason Ukraine became prey for Russia. The video was released as the terror group marks 11 years since the death of Osama bin Laden. Two Afghan